Turn with me, if you would, this morning to John chapter 8. We'll be reading verses 37 through verse 40. Hear now God's word. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Lord, again, we come to you this morning. We pray, Lord, that we would see our identity as in Christ. For He is all in all. His word stands. And Lord, you have told us that you will deny those who deny you. So help us to stand firm, as Christ has said, as disciples, true disciples. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Again, this morning, as we begin, one of the great issues of today is, who am I? What is my identity? You know, people don't know who they are, what they are, but they want to identify as something that they are not. And they expect everybody else to accept what they identify as. Well, the Christian, in some sense, is like that. Or God is like that. God says, I am, and I expect you to accept my definitions, my identity, if you are mine. Absolutely, you do not have the choice. And if you identify with something outside my law, you are none of mine. And therefore, this morning, we see John has been dealing with this a little bit all along. And we saw a couple last week when, again, the children of Israel said, or these Jews, remember, most of them probably the leaders of the Sanhedrin, those in Jerusalem who kind of guide and direct the law, whom Christ has already come in conflict with. And see, they've already said, we be the sons of Abraham. Our identity is found in Abraham. And so as Christ has been arguing with them, we've said that, seen them use that over and over. But remember, Christ got into this heated part of his discussion with them when he said, if you are my followers, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And that set them off like a Roman candle. For some reason, they saw that little word saying, when Christ says, you will be free, as he was saying, well, you are slaves, which in actuality, they are. But Christ went on to say to them again, that you are what you are by verses that what you do, and who you serve. Every slave is a slave to their master. But now these Israelites, these Jews, take affront to that and say, we have never been in captivity to anybody. We've always been free because Abraham is free. And now what they were doing is they were removing the facts of the scripture which they believed because they had been in true captivity all the way back to Exodus when, again, they were 400 years in captivity in Egypt. Then they were in captivity to the different tribes around Canaan off and on during the book of Judges, as it says God gave them into the hands of their enemies. Then again, they were in captivity in Nebuchadnezzar, and Daniel and the children of Israel were carried off. Then they were in captivity to the Medo-Persians, from which they turned and went back and built the temple. And then they were under the Syrians. And now that today, the day as they're speaking, they're under the thumb of the Roman Empire. But now again, what they did is said, well, we're really free because we only have one God and we've only worshipped one God. We're not like the heathens who have many gods and they are idolaters. We're not idolaters because we worship one God. And Christ keeps driving home. And so this morning as we start in verse 37, he says, I know that you are Abraham's seed. Now, Jesus knows everything. Okay? He knows it absolutely. He knows it better than they do. But His point that He's coming to now is again that I know that you are of Abraham. You have His blood running in your veins. And you think because you have the blood of Abraham, His genetic makeup in your body, that God loves you more than He does anybody. And by virtue that you worship Abraham, you're going to be okay. The Roman Catholic does the same thing. They worship Mary. They put their hope in Mary while trying to pretend they worship the God of heaven, Jesus Christ, and again, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When God says, I will have no other gods before my face. And see, what the Jews are doing actually is the same thing. They are worshiping Abraham, and they're looking at what God did for Abraham and the promises God made for Abraham. And they're saying, if God made it for Abraham, He made it for all of His seed. Everyone who comes out of Abraham is the same as Abraham. They have all the promises, which they do have the promises of God. But they have not believed and trusted as Abraham did. Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. They have not believed the promises of God, but they have set their hope on Abraham who believed. And God gave him the land. God gave Israel, through Abraham, circumcision to mark them out. God later gives them the land that Abraham never had owned a part of except a funeral plot. He gave them Moses. He gave them the law, the ceremonial law, which was to show them how they were to be saved. A sacrifice in their behalf. And so all these things are pictures of the promise that God promised them in the future, which Paul says that Jesus Christ would fulfill when He comes. And He stands before them right now. And so those words of Christ, I know you are Abraham's seed. But then there's this word, but. It's a contrast. You are Abraham's seed, but you are seeking to kill me. You are seeking to kill me. Now remember, Christ has already told them, whoever is literally, continuously and habitually committing sin is a servant. He's a slave to sin. This is exactly what these men are doing. Now see, they make up the legal system. What does God say in His Word about how a court case is to be settled? A man who's brought before the court is considered, again, innocent until proven guilty. The court has to prove him guilty of his charges. And these men are already prejudiced against the man that they want to bring to court, which is a sin and which is not seen right in God's eyes. Jesus is one of two things, as C.S. Lewis says. He is either the greatest con man who ever lived. We would say Christ has brought on the death of billions of people since then because they have died for Him. And His con has worked. I mean, what would you think about that? The person we serve and worship is a con man. Or He is who He says He is. He is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, come to save His people from their sins. He is the very Son of God. And in court, there should be witnesses brought who you can believe and trust to identify who you are. Jesus had thousands of people who had seen Him work miracles. Remember, there were 5,000 people He fed in one day in the Galilee, and it says, and He was healing all day long. We see Christ had the witness. And remember, the Old Testament said, as Isaiah said, that was quoted by Jesus to the servants of John the Baptist. The blind have their eyes opened. The deaf have their ears opened. The dumb speak. All these things, and that's all that John the Baptist needed. He saw the Old Testament, which these men believed. And he says, This is my witness. Christ comes saying, my witness is in the works that I do. And so they could have brought thousands of people to testify in a court. Truly, this man must be of God. Nicodemus, he says, you must be a teacher of God because no man can do these things that you do except he were of God. So the testimony was there, but they would not hear it. And so now Christ says unto them, but you seek to kill me. You seek to kill me. Why is that? What is the difference? Because my word hath no place in you. If you are in Christ, His word is within you. You can't get away from it. You are enclosed in everything about Christ. Christ in you, you are in Christ. And so now, they are not in Christ, therefore they are not in His word. They have nothing to do with His word. And so we see when Paul writes about the sinner, he says, the natural man receives not the things of God, neither can he know them. That's an impossibility. The Greek there is very emphatic. It's an impossibility for a man outside of Christ who has not been born again of the Holy Spirit to believe the things of God. Doesn't mean they can't accept them in their head, as we saw about the false believers earlier. But they cannot know them. They are not part of Him because they're not alive. And it says there again, neither can they know them because they are spiritually discerned. Paul goes on to say back in Romans, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. These men are of the seed of the serpent. And that little word enmity in there, again, the carnal mind is at enmity with God. He hates God. Remember, God put the enmity between the two seeds in the garden. And from that point on, we see the battle between the two seeds. And unless one is transformed from being in the kingdom of the seed of the serpent, he will serve under his master, Satan. And so we see again that God says again, you're a slave to your master. The slave, again, does the will of his master. His master's command is his duty. And we see that in the Christ has said over and over, I come to do the will of my Father. Christ has voluntarily submitted himself to the will of his Father and come to obey all of his commands, so that he could save his people from their sins. And now in verse 38 he says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Now literally, the older manuscript said, I speak that which I have heard of my Father. Now notice, he's going to draw a distinction between him and the leaders of Israel. I heard of my Father. Remember, God as one God, but within the three persons of the Trinity. The Trinity has always been in unity, together. One God in three persons, fellowshipping and communion. Nothing hid between any of them. They are one, and yet they are many. And so Christ draws focus here that I speak what I have heard from my Father. Literally, that's the from, I heard from my Father. But now notice he draws a contrast. And you do that which you have seen, or literally heard from your Father. He makes it very distinct. My Father, your Father. Remember Isaiah in Isaiah 7:14, when he's talking about the virgin birth and he calls Ahaz. He says, do you weary my God? Where he had earlier said, ask of your God, and he will give you a sign. He's making that distinction. No longer is he your God, he's my God. You have no part in him because you will not hear him. This is where Christ is coming from in this situation. And so again, we see that Christ is working in them. Now again, they're going to answer him according to that. They understand, he's saying, your father, their father, are two different things. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. It's almost as though they've overstated it for the effect. It's almost as though they're saying, we have but one father, and that is Abraham. What's missing? A true Jew would say, God is my father. The great I am, Jehovah, is my father. And Abraham is his son. And I am a son of Abraham by faith. But no, they are making this point as though now, and they're pointing to the fact that they are worshipers of Abraham. This is not Abraham's fault. It's their fault because they have taken what God has given them, the promises to Abraham, and made Abraham the one who dishes out, as it were, these promises. They come from him, not from God. They're looking after the fact that God has created Abraham and made a promise to him, and that all of his promises would be fulfilled in his son, Jesus Christ, the son of Abraham, the son of David, the son of God. And so now, as we see this working out for us, we see that, again, Christ is kind of battling with these men. See, they believe that Abraham was sufficient for their faith. They could ride on it, as it were, on his garments of righteousness and hold on to his garments or the hem of his skirt and make it in. That's all they needed. They had the bloodline, the ancestry. They had the promises, as Paul says in Romans, unto you were given the promises, the law. All this was theirs, and that's true. Paul says that in every way they were blessed above all. But, again, he also says they were cut out because of their unbelief. Your ancestry really means nothing to God. Again, in Matthew chapter 9, the Jews are with John the Baptist, and he's proclaiming to them faith in Jesus Christ alone, God's very Son. And remember, they kept being angered because they didn't like that. And John the Baptist said unto them, they kept priding themselves in being the sons of Abraham. Think not that I say within yourselves, we have Abraham our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Remember, it was God who of the dust of the ground created Adam and Eve, who are the fathers of us all. Christ is telling them, you are the children of Adam. Adam fell, and you were in Adam before you were ever created or birthed. You were sinners by birth and sinners by choice. You are the seed of the serpent. You have the enmity against the children of God within you, even though now, in the process of time, you have become the children of God. Because God called out Abraham out of all the nations of the world and all the peoples of the world, God set apart Abraham and called him to believe. And it says, and Abraham believed God, and all this were accounted unto him as righteousness. Now, Paul tells us that the gospel was taken and it was preached and proclaimed to Abraham. And so in Abraham, we have hope. In Abraham, God has set aside one man, and out of his loins will come his chosen people. And those chosen people, again, will not receive. This is the depth and the power of the enmity that is between God and man. All the sons of Adam, not all the sons of Abraham, but all the sons of Adam are the sons of the seed of the serpent. But when God sets one apart and he again transforms Abraham to be a seed of the woman, and out of his seed will come a seed that will crush the head of the serpent. See, they jump to the conclusion, well, that means all of Abraham's seed. They take that word every and all to mean every single one born of Abraham, they're in. because they are riding on the coats of Abraham. He believed God, that's good enough for me. So what he believes, I believe. We are in Abraham. He's the Savior. Now, Abraham is our representative. Like Adam was the representative of all mankind. Now, Christ sets Abraham as a picture for us. He's a representative for us. And if we, like Abraham, believe, it will be accounted unto us for righteousness. But we must believe not in Abraham, but in the God of Abraham. There's the difference. The Catholic Church says, we believe in Mary, and of course, she is God, she's divine, and she's the mother of Jesus, therefore we can accept her. She's good enough too. No, Mary had to be saved by grace alone, through Christ alone, and so she is no different. She's like Abraham. She believed God, and God chose her to bear His Son. But she was redeemed by her Son. She did not redeem anybody else, and she did not redeem herself, but was redeemed by God through Christ Jesus. And so again, we see Jesus is speaking. So don't think because my mother and my father are Christians, I'm a Christian. We would say, yes, you are. You've been brought in by baptism into the church of God. You have the promises of God. And just as people who are received into the church, who are not true believers, they receive the promises of God. They always have those promises before them. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And those who call upon me as Abraham did, I will save. And it was Christ who said again, I will save you. The natural man cannot come. The Holy Spirit was given in the process of the history before creation to be the one who would take the completed work of the Son, who was doing the will of the Father, and apply it to regenerating the heart to believe, making it no longer a natural man, but a spiritual man. And He's given him power to believe, and he believes. And in his by faith that God has given to him, he receives the promises of God. And not only does he remain a servant of God, he becomes a servant of God, not Satan, but that servant is adopted into the household of God. And so again, we see Christ is dealing with him. And so they say, we are the children of Abraham. Abraham is our father, and that's enough and good enough for us. But now Jesus kind of stops him. And he puts a little word there to draw a contrast between them. He says, if you were Abraham's children. Now here comes the point that Christ is making. What's your identity? These men said, we're an Abraham. We identify with Abraham. See, we're not slaves, and we're not practicing slaves. But they are slaves. And this is what Christ says. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Now we have this saying, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but sometimes the apples are blown by the wind or carried off by animals, and they get so far away they're not even attached anyway to the tree. What does Christ say? Through Paul, he says, I will cut out of this olive tree, this tame olive tree whose roots are Christ, I will cut out certain branches, and I will take this wild olive tree, the Gentiles, and I will engraft them into the tree. They will become part of the tree. Abraham says, you are a child of Abraham by faith. As Isaac was, you are. Now, what does he mean by that? Isaac was the son of promise. And God holds out to all of Abraham's children the promise. I'm the God of Abraham. And if you, like Abraham, believe in me and trust in my Son who does the work of redemption for you, you will be as faithful as Abraham. But if you claim the blood of Abraham is in you, and you do not Present yourself like Abraham, who believed me and trusted me and did all that was supposed to do because of me. Because he knew God, he lived a certain way. Because he knew God, he believed certain things. And so it is with us this morning. Who do you identify? And if you identify with Christ, you will do the works of Christ. And I don't mean miracles. You will look at his law. And you will want to be like your Father in heaven, who is God. The God who is the Father of the Son, who again is the judge of all the earth, and his Son. You cannot go to the Father, who is the judge, apart from Christ, because it is Christ who has come to keep the law perfectly for you, and also to go to the cross to pay for your sin, which, again, the curse of death and sin is upon you. You need a perfect, absolute, perfect sacrifice, who is Jesus Christ. He was born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those who were under the law. He kept every jot and every tittle. And then he went to the cross to pay the debt of sin, because by sin came death. That's the curse. And he took the curse upon him for you and I. And now, how do you live? The Bible tells us in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Peter quotes from the Old Testament. Be ye holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy. What is the measure of holiness? It's God's law. The very law that will condemn every unbeliever in the world, those who do not finally and totally and completely believe in Christ, will suffer all the curses of God's law, this very law that Christ himself kept perfectly. That is what all the Bible tells us of Christ and his law and his work. And we are striving to be like that. Though we are struggling in this life with sin. Yes, Abraham had sin too, remember. And we see how great a sin that believers can do in David. He murdered. He committed adultery. He disobeyed God. And when God said, don't number the people, he numbered them. And we see in each place, what was David's reaction? When that prophet Nathan comes to him and points the finger and says, David, you're the man. David fell on his face. And we have Psalm 51 again to show forth what he meant. He says, I am the man. He didn't say it was the people. It was that woman. It's her fault. Not like Saul. It's not my fault. It's the people's fault. I did it for them. No, God says, hey, David, you're the man. And David, because of the Holy Spirit in him, he says, I am the man. I was created in sin. And in sin did my mother bring forth. He talks about that original sin that was on him as in his birth. And God made him righteous through Jesus Christ. And so the righteous man has the Holy Spirit to come and point that finger at him. So David bowed. When we sin, it doesn't say if you sin, it says when we sin, we have an advocate. That's our legal person who goes before the court for us. It is Jesus Christ the righteous, the perfect Son of God, who goes before the Father and says, I have paid the debt of their sins. I have counted my righteousness to them because of who I am, your Son. And they are your children. And it's because they are your children that they do what they do. And when they sin, they come to you. Because your spirit will not allow them to stay in their sins. And so, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Christ says something interesting, or Paul actually, of Christ. He talks about Christ and he says, Christ, if you deny me before the world, I will deny you before my Father. Understood in this is, you can walk down many aisles. I have. I'd say, I've been saved probably 8 or 10 times since I was born in the church and walked down, because, you know, preachers can make you feel guilty, like you're not saved. Over and over. But you know what? God's not going to ask you that on this day, did you say you received me? He's going to say, where are you? Are you living for me? Are you striving against the world for me? Are you identifying with me in all the world? Or are you denying me by your life? Do you say, oh, well, I identify myself by my sex, by my loving of entertainment, of the world, and I like to be among the world and do the things, but I don't do them. But that's where I identify with. No, God says, if you identify with the world, you have denied me. I don't care what you say about not doing those things. Are you saved by works because you are so good? And the Scripture does tell us that, again, there are some sins that are more heinous than others. Our confession, number 83 in the Shorter Catechism, speaks of that. There are some sins that are more heinous, but all sin condemns a man to hell. And unless you are identifying with Christ, who has paid the debt of all those He came to save, His bride, His sheep, His church, unless you are, as Christ says, continuously and habitually believing and trusting in me and striving against the world. And He says, there is a battle going on in your life. Yes, if you know me. Because Satan, like a roaring lion, is going about seeking whom he may devour. But the believer is one who in Christ continues. I may fall, but I get back up. I look to God. I trust God. I confess my sins. And over it goes. He says, you are to be continuously and habitually confessing your sins because you are continuously and habitually sinning, but you're not sinning like the world. The one thing that we have as believers that the unbeliever does not have is love for God. He does not love God at all. We love God and we desire to love Him more and more. But in this fallen state of ours right now, we have the old man and the new man in us. And we strive. And we are battling. As Paul says, when I would do good, evil is present. But he doesn't say, well, I can't fight them. Might as well join them. You may have a struggle with a sin in your life and you can't have it. And it seems like you can't get rid of it. You say, God, what's the use? The use is, again, God is teaching you. You confess. You continuously come to me. And I will continuously be giving you of that sin. But here's the other thing. The Scripture teaches us about our holiness. We have been made holy. That is, we have been set apart. And yet, we are being made holy. In other words, we do still sin. God, once for all, has set us apart in Christ Jesus. There will no one bring a charge against God's elect. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And yet we still struggle. So there is the now and the not yet. We have not reached that point of what we would say glorification, where sin is no part of our life. But if you're a believer, sin may have part of it, but you're fighting against it. There's the difference. The world does not fight. God is not in His thoughts. In Proverbs it says, the plowing of the wicked is sin. And so now Christ comes to this close in this section. But now you seek to kill me, a man who hath told you the truth. Boy, you know, people don't like the truth. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. My word is the way, the truth, and the life. You must believe in me and trust in me. And he says, you have said Abraham is your father. Well, Abraham believed God. Abraham was a man who struggled in life for holiness and righteousness in his life. You don't. You're nothing like your father, Abraham. You're like your father, Abraham, as a sinner born under Adam. But you are men who do not know what redemption is. You do not put your faith in the living God. And so again, he says, you seek to kill me. Again, what is it? you are of your father the devil. He's talking to Jews. He's talking to the seed of Abraham. Matter of fact, Christ in Matthew 23 says, this generation of Jews, particularly the leaders, you're the worst generation that's ever lived. Your fathers killed the prophets, and you sat back and said, if we were alive in those days, we wouldn't have done that. But he says, you're nothing but sepulchers, painted sepulchers. You paint them on the outside, but you're nothing but filthy bones and stinking flesh inside. You're wolves in sheep's clothing. You're serpents. And upon you will come all the blood of all those in the Old Testament who were put to death, and in this time, yourself, because you will kill the Son of Glory. And so it is. He says, Abraham didn't act like you. You may be part of his biological tree, but you're no part of his spiritual tree. You are not the sons of Abraham by faith, only by blood. And you know what? I can make Jews out of stones. So where are you this morning? Who are you identifying with? Who are you? Are you a Christian? That is who you are. That's not what you are. If you are by faith as a child of God, you are a Christian. That means you are a son and daughter of God through Jesus Christ, His Son, who has become our older brother, and by whom we also have an inheritance. We're family. We are the family of God. That's who we are. But there are a lot of people who says, this is what I am. I declare I am this. When you're not. No matter how many surgeries you have, you cannot change your DNA, and that's what you are and who you are. A sinner, undone. And if unless you are transformed by the work of the Holy Spirit in you, you will be identified in history and in eternity as a child of Satan. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would guide us this morning, strengthen us, help us, Lord, to serve you and honor you, to glorify you in Him. Help us now to go on this day as we serve you as children of God. Help us not hear these words, you have denied me. But Lord, help us to hear your words, enter into my kingdom, because you have believed and trusted in me. And by faith, I have made you free. And you are free indeed. In Jesus' name, amen.